This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Donna Shapley. Welcome. As we wrap up reading from the March issue of Cincinnati Magazine, today I would like to start in front lines with Nothing Rains on Jim Scott's Parade. The beloved media icon stays positive despite his health issues by Stephen Rosen. Jim Scott is really looking forward to serving as the honorary Grand Marshal of the Findlay Market Opening Day Parade on March 28th. I love the parade, says the retired WLW radio personality during a mid-January interview. He's done just about everything else associated with the event, which has been a Cincinnati Reds tradition since 1919. Last year, at age 80, Scott walked the entire 3-mile route. His devotion to the parade, the Reds, and Findlay Market merchants is consistent with his support for the traditions and people of Cincinnati in general, which is why he's long been such an admired, even beloved figure in this city. He retired as WLW's morning personality in 2015, ending almost 47 years in Cincinnati radio. The Findlay Market Parade Committee was thrilled to flip the script and announce that Jim would be the one leading the parade from Findlay Market to the stadium, says Kelly Lanzer, Director of Communications and Strategic Initiatives for the market. Being the parade's honorary Grand Marshal may seem like a natural, almost de rigueur, progression for Scott now that he's retired, but the honor is especially poignant and resonant given his health challenges. In 2021, on opening day, as fate would have it, Scott's doctor told him it was likely he was showing symptoms related to amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. Another physician confirmed the diagnosis. According to the ALS Association website, the disease has its own tragic natural progression, weakening muscles that impact physical function. Scott revealed the diagnosis to the public in August 2023. A grim irony. ALS is also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, named after the baseball legend who had it in the 1930s. When Scott was announced as honorary Grand Marshal at Reds Fest in December, he had to appear via video as he was in a rehab facility recovering from pneumonia. That bout took his ALS symptoms over the cliff, says Donna Hartman, his wife of 23 years. And it especially affected his vocal power and clarity. It did its damage, she says, but left was his grace, his charm, his wit. His personality was the same. You just had to lean over close to his mouth to hear him. When I visit Scott at a Northern Kentucky rehabilitation hospital where he gets assistance with feeding and occupational, physical, and speech therapies, he's smiling, polite, welcoming, and funny. When I ask what he's doing to stay strong, he quickly adds a slight but crucial, to him, rejoinder to the question, and positive with an exclamation point. He tells it like it is. It's a fatal disease, he says, so one of these days it will get me. When you know your time is limited, you shouldn't waste it. But one thing that makes me mad is what ALS did to my voice. I'm looking into technology to help me communicate in the future. Scott is determined that his short-term future includes being this year's honorary Grand Marshal of the parade. Yes, why not, he says. I may be in a wheelchair, or I may be in a convertible, or I might levitate. When the laughter in the room ceases, he turns serious. Being in the parade to me will be a statement that I'm not going to quit. I'll probably be in a wheelchair, but I probably won't be the only person there in a wheelchair. I ask him why he endeavors to be positive given the personal hardships. Do you know the expression spark joy? He replies. If I see somebody in a wheelchair, I say, "Hi, champ, what's your name?" And I give a thumbs up. My dad always said, everybody deserves recognition. And again, Nothing Rains on Jim Scott's Parade was brought to us by Stephen Rosen. Still in front lines, Speak Easy, A Life of High Notes and Crescendos. A professor emeritus at UC's College of Medicine and director of orthopedic surgery at Cincinnati Children's for 29 years, the first black graduate of the University of Tennessee College of Medicine, a music lover who teaches jazz history at CCM in retirement. Alvin Crawford, M.D., is surely a modern-day Renaissance man. He recounts his amazing life in the Bone Doctor's Concerto, published by the University of Cincinnati Press in November, and here. Your amazing journey begins in childhood. Can you share some of the details? I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, in a community called Orange Mound. I went to a school where all the educators were African American and our community was all black. I was raised by a single mother and had two siblings. We were poor, but I didn't know how poor until later. When did you get into music? I started playing music in junior high and got into band. I had an ear for music and loved it. Our school had a strong music program, and I started in trumpet, moving to clarinet and saxophone. I decided that I wanted to be a studio musician and got a scholarship to Tennessee State University. How did a college musician make the jump to medicine? The idea of pursuing medicine was posed by my brother, who asked me, "You're always looking for challenges. Why don't you consider medicine?" So I went to the Department of Physics at Tennessee State to take the prerequisite courses. I got into Meharry Medical School, a historically black university in Nashville. But the University of Tennessee College of Medicine at that time did not admit African Americans. My mom dreamed big. She was a nurse at the City of Memphis Hospital, where she put a bug into the chief of surgery's ear. What inspired you to write the autobiography? I've been fortunate to live a wonderful life, but it hasn't been easy. I hope this book gives kids hope and the reinforcement that, if they love working hard, they can make their dreams work in spite of obstacles. A Life of High Notes and Crescendos, brought to us by Saren Makasha. Next, still in Frontlines, to Storefront. Cincy-cat-i. Visit your new furry friends at businesses all around town, by Claire Lefton. Gary at Earthwise Pet, Harper's Point. Parading around an organic pet supply shop in Harper's Point, you'll find the handsomest store manager you ever did see. He's chubby, talkative, and has an excellent selection of fashionable ties. This is Gary, the store cat for Earthwise Pet. Gary started his career at the store as an adoptable cat from Ohio Alley Cat Resource. People didn't want to adopt him because of health issues that included gastrointestinal problems and FIV. Eventually, a veterinarian recommended that Gary be put down, but owners Dan and Lisa Woods nursed Gary back to health and officially adopted him as the store pet. Gary may follow you around the store to assist with your shopping or lead an impromptu yoga session from the front counter. Keep an eye out for the occasional Gary special, a partially open bag of food that he broke into. George at Wiedemann's Brewery and Pub. The second I got out of my car at Wiedemann's Brewery and Pub, Georgie walked up to greet me. Georgie also carries on the legacy of a brewery that's over 150 years old. The owners decided to honor their company's history by naming the cat after George Wiedemann, the German immigrant who founded Wiedemann's Fine Beer in Newport in 1870. Addie at Suter's Art Store. This tortoise-shell cutie is Addie. She's lived at Suter's Art Store since January 2018, as much of an over-the-Rhine staple as the 100-year-old art supply shop itself. She may be cute, but she can be a bit temperamental. We call her Princess Addie. Does that tell you anything? Jokes Sharon Suter. You'll need a sharp eye to find her in a wood panel store filled to the brim with items. Addie can blend in to her surroundings. Pro tip, her favorite spot is the easel section. And all Failing denizens of Perfect Day Cat Cafe. All cat enthusiasts in town know that Perfect Day Cat Cafe in Covington is the place to be. It has great coffee drinks, cocktails, pastries, and most importantly, a room full of cats for you to play with and adopt. I wouldn't be able to name all the kitties at Perfect Day, even if I tried. Thousands of cats have been adopted through the cafe. Next up, still in Frontlines, our favorite Dr. K-N-O-W. His first question is, my neighbor's friends park in front of my house in College Hill. I wouldn't mind, but they half park up on the sidewalk, muddying the grass on the Little Devil's Strip. I complain, but my neighbor says, too bad, that's city property. Is she right? Who's responsible for that little grassy area? Signed, Shove Thy Neighbor. His answer, dear Shove, whatever hostilities rage between you and your neighbor, they don't compare to the firestorm you have created at our offices. you called that little grass rectangle between the curb and the sidewalk the Devil's Strip. One faction here never heard this expression and never wants to hear it again. That area, they insist, is a tree lawn or a dog walking area. Thank you very much. The staffers who barricade themselves behind Devil's Strip declare it to be universal. They come from northern Ohio and Michigan, which is where dialect experts place the term's origins. The doctor, however, says diligently focused on your question. Whatever you wish to call the accursed grassy thing, it is definitely the city of Cincinnati's property. So is the sidewalk itself, but homeowners sadly know that they are still responsible for all maintenance. You could, perhaps, remind your neighbor that it is technically illegal to park a car there at all. She would probably invite you to call the cops and see how that goes. Stay in touch. Next question to Dr. No. My dad helps me with my income taxes. He says that back when all tax returns were sent by mail, the Dalton Street Post Office stayed open until midnight every April 15th. And it was a big party. Long lines of cars, free food, bands playing, etc. How crazy did it get? And when did it end? Signed, Slap Happy Returns. The doctor's answer. Dear Slap Happy, the doctor salutes you and your father for working on your taxes now, unlike certain deadbeat doctors. In days of yore, last-minute crowds gathered at the downtown IRS office on March 15th, the tax deadline, until 1955. The extra month provided that year reduced the number of stragglers by a whopping 0%. Several area post offices staffed up for the annual till midnight deluge, but by the 1990s, the Dalton Street facility near Union Terminal had become Procrastination Party headquarters. Cars backed up onto I-75, with vendors handing out free pizza, sandwiches, bagels, etc., etc. Various bands performed. Tax protesters protested. IRS employees volunteered for dunking booths. Radio stations, which shall not be named, broadcast ridiculous stunts. After online tax filing surpassed 50% in 2005, the crowds dwindled. By 2010, Dalton Street was closing at 8 p.m. CVG became the last resort, and only until 11. Now, when you file, your computer never hands out free pizza, nor does it play a Dixieland version of Taxman. Last question. Cincinnatians used to send our tax returns every April to the big IRS complex in Covington. Now that it's gone, I notice my payment voucher says Cincinnati OH45280. Where is that? If for some reason I had to drop off my 1040 at the last minute, where is zip code 45280? The doctor's answer, dear postal, our readers are obviously in tax season, and the doctor is here to help. To reach zip code 45280, just take Riverside Drive from downtown to Baines Street, park your car, jump into the Ohio River, swim about 100 feet out, And there you are. This is precisely where UnitedStatesZipCodes.org places 45280. You may prefer instead to follow MapQuest's directions to 8th and Vine Streets. Other websites confidently inform the doctor that 45280 is in Norwood or Spain. One site says it's in Turkey. The truth, 45280 is the IRS cage. That's what they call it at the aforementioned Dalton Street post office in a totally separate and super secure location. Maybe. Might be in Roswell or Gitmo. Nobody from USPS felt like giving the doctor specifics. But for decades, your snail-mailed 1040s have almost always landed first at a post office and not at the Covington IRS. In earlier years, your form said 45298 or 45999, just to throw you off the scent. The new 45280 debuted in 2010, and for some reason it collected returns from 13 states, but not from Ohio. We were bumped to Missouri. Regardless, on April 15th, do not bring your tax return to Dalton Street after dark. You could be sharing an empty parking lot with a sadly misinformed Dixieland band. And that wraps up Dr. No, who is Jay Gilbert, radio personality and advertising prankster. You can submit your questions about the city's peculiarities at drknow@cincinnatimagazine.com. We'll now switch to the dine section and revisit Surf at the Turf. The Turf Club, formerly Terry's Turf Club, is best known for its highly customizable gourmet burgers. But there's more to enjoy beneath the rainbow of neon signs. The TTC Fish Taquerito, tempura battered fried cod with red cabbage slaw, made with key lime, tangerine, kiwi, cilantro, and serrano, all topped with almonds, hazelnuts, pineapple, avocado, tomato, and tomatillo in a flour tortilla, bundles vivid color, texture, and flavor into a burrito-shaped package. The generous serving of flaky white fish makes the core and the rest of the ingredients build out from there. Layers of crisp slaw, tangy kiwi, savory avocado, and crunchy nuts make the meal feel like a swaddled salad. Pops of sweet pineapple keep things interesting, and the cilantro, tomato, and tomatillo work overtime to harmonize all the moving parts. To get the most out of the taquerito's sweetness, add your favorite salty side. While most diners love the restaurant's fried corn on the cob and onion rings, we lean toward the duck fat fries. Their delicate, crispy texture contrasts the taquerito's meatier bites, scratching an itch the lean fish, fruit, and vegetables can't. When these two share a plate, they make each other better. Surf at the Turf by M. Lee Hood. The Turf Club, located at 4618 Eastern Avenue in Linwood. You can get more information at theturfcluboh.com. And Takes, the After Party. Originally served in the 18th century to aid digestion, after-dinner digestifs are still all over restaurant and bar menus. By Aisha D. Little. Number 1, Nonino. This Amaro, which means bitter in Italian, is a grappa-based liqueur with a bittersweet blend of herbs, spices, and roots. $10. You can find this at Lost and Found Bar, 22 East 14th Street in Over the Rhine. Number 2, Galliano, often used in cocktails like Harvey Wallbangers. Juniper, cinnamon, and anise add a sweet complexity to this vanilla-flavored herbal liqueur. $10. The View at Shire's Garden, 309 Vine Street, 10th floor downtown. Number 3, Amma Roulette Wheel. Not sure what to get? Let the wheel decide for you. You can spin for one of 8 digestives, including the artichoke leaf-infused Sinar, $7 per spin. Homemakers Bar, 39 East 13th Street in Over the Rhine. Number 4, Montenegro. This drink has a blend of 40 botanicals, including eucalyptus and orange peels, which harkens back to the recipe originally created by an Italian distiller in 1885. It goes for $17 and can be found at Al Posto Restaurant, 2710 Erie Avenue in Hyde Park. And number 5, Malort. Believe or not, this infamous Chicago classic is supposed to settle nausea, not create it. With such an acquired taste, wormwood, anyone? This is more of a dare than a recommendation. Its price, $5, and can be found at Molly Malone's, 112 East 4th Street in Covington, Kentucky. And on that note, we have now run out of time for today's broadcast and the entire March issue of Cincinnati Magazine. This is Donna Shapley, so grateful you've been with me this month and today, and hope you'll join me next week when we'll begin the April issue of Cincinnati Magazine. I hope to see you then.